Ye come seeking adventure and salty old podcasters, eh?
Actually, we taste like paprika. Hi, I'm Daniel.
And I'm Jonathan, and welcome to the Laughing Place Podcast.
Today, our theme is water. We're going to be discussing a water park concept for Disneyland Resort and Armchair Imagineering, the top 10 Disney waterfalls in the theme parks, and discuss the news and give our trivia. So let's get started. The Disneyland Resort held a ceremony for the Disneyland Railroad, for the newly restored Lily Bell car, and a new engine named after Disney animator Ward Kimball. Some tourists in China may file suit over being kept out of Hong Kong Disneyland during the busy spring holiday. Expedition Everest continues to open sporadically for guests visiting Disney's Animal Kingdom. The opening date has now been set for April 7th.
Today's trivia question is, what is the name of Blizzard Beach's wave pool? The answer is coming up.
And now it's time for Armchair Imagineering, where we try on Imagineering shoes and come up with interesting ideas for Disney destinations around the world. Today, we're going to be discussing a water park concept for the Disneyland Resort. Personally, I think that a water park is a very good idea for Disney to use because it's one of the concepts that I've seen not very well executed, even by Disney as of yet. While water parks are something I really would like to enjoy because I love the idea of being in the water and I love water slides, the actual experience tends to be a little bit annoying. I don't like the fact that you usually have to go barefoot and your feet get kind of sore because you're walking up a lot of steps and the ground's kind of rough and the temperature always seems kind of iffy. And there's just a lot of things about the experience that I think could be improved upon. And even the theming, you've got these slides that at Blizzard Beach and Typhoon Lagoon have nice rock work around them, but nobody's even attempted to do anything with the level of storytelling you see in the theme parks. And I'd really like to see Disney step up to that level and really try to make a park almost as different from other water parks as Disneyland is from amusement parks.
But not only that, but in California, would you want it to be different than the Walt Disney World parks, or would you actually just sort of rehash the same sort of theming?
I think you'd have to do different themes because Typhoon Lagoon essentially is pretty generic. The twist on the beach theme is that this is a beach that's been rustled by a typhoon, and so you've got the off-kilter buildings. But besides that, it is a fairly generic setting. And while for Florida it works because you've got the tourists that are essentially using Typhoon Lagoon as a substitute for the beach, in California, where you've got people that are within driving distance of the beach, you can't expect them to make that substitution in terms of when you go to a water park, you want it to be beyond just a substitution for the beach. You're going to want to give them a reason to specifically go to your park and not go to Soak City and some of these other parks.
Well, if Typhoon Lagoon is the generic theming and Blizzard Beach is the sort of, you know, it's already been achieved in Florida to as much as it can be in a way. I'm just trying to think of what exactly the theming-wise it could be. I mean, they have California Adventure, which is basically, you know, everything California, so you couldn't do, say, Soak City 2. So it's just a tough thing to ask about what theming would you pick. It would have to be something very bizarre in a way.
Well, honestly, one idea I've always loved is a theme park, a water theme park themed around Fantasia, because within the individual segments you have some very different thematic ideas and they could almost build a ride based around all the different segments between the two movies. The music would provide a little bit of glue and it would come together because you have the overarching theme of Fantasia, but on the other hand it would be very different than the ordinary. You could have, you know, Mount Olympus as the centerpiece, but then you could also have a Sorcerer's Apprentice ride that uses the toilet bowl type slide, they call them, where, you know, you spin around and you go through the center. And then you have the big family raft ride that's themed to, like, a Bacchus, where you're going down, like, a wine trench. Yeah, there are ideas that, and then you have another one maybe where you're racing and there's the hippo slide and the ostrich slide and the crocodile slide and you're racing on mats that almost resemble the capes and you're going in and out of like topiary gardens or something like that for Dance of the Hours. That would be something that to me would really, Disney has never fully put their mark on the water park. They've done fabulous thematic jobs, but really all they've done is just aesthetic. They've never really addressed true storytelling and even gone beyond just making it look pretty. And what I'd like to see them do, if they did something like Fantasia's, you got themes like Nine of Bald Mountain, they could do almost a rock and roller coaster type slide with painted flats and projections and onto mist and fiber optics, and they could do some really amazing things with the slide. And they can make really elaborate cues and really make you feel like it's not just, you know, decorated slides. It's more than this. It's more kind of like how they do. I mean, I don't think most people just go on Space Mountain. They're like, oh, that's a thematic roller coaster. It goes beyond that.
Well, another question would be, how much of a demand is there for another theme, another water park in that area? Because we have Soak City. And then we, like, I mean, you drive down further and there, I mean, there's Raging Waters and all sorts of other different parks. So even if it was like the best themed water park ever, would it necessarily pay off, or would it just be, say, like an Islands of Adventure where people appreciate it but yet it doesn't make anybody?
There is a risk of that. I don't think that the water park market is so, I don't think it's reached its potential in California, because I think that people do enjoy that type of experience. Californians do enjoy, partly because they grew up near the beach, they enjoy the water park experience. And I think that that market definitely could bear another water park. And especially if they do make something so unique. Islands of Adventure has the unfortunate problem of being the sixth park of a themed caliber to be built around Orlando. And at that point, you're getting a little thin. If this really truly is as themed as they should go, like if they really do a truly themed water park that's really elaborate beyond anybody's imagination, then I don't see, I mean, it's in a class by itself, and I don't see how it could fail. I mean, I do see how it could fail. I just don't think it would. I think that not only would it would succeed by leaps and bounds, and I think that Disney would crack a whole new field in terms of they would be able to charge more for this park, it would reach a new audience, and I think that it would do very well for them. It is risky, though, but sometimes it's good to risk. And I've seen Disney do some risks lately that I'm not so sure were such a good idea. But I think this is one area that really could use improvement upon, and they could really pretty much smash their competitors, really. Now, one thing to consider, though, in terms of when you think of competition is how you could possibly make a themed environment indoors, or make sections of it indoors to where maybe they can charge a cheaper rate or something like that. Because California's weather is iffy enough between September through April that most water parks don't even open. Because even though you have some good days, you have also days where it's very rainy and cold. So it can't be consistent. And I don't know of a way, maybe they could make a section of the park indoors, kind of like Mermaid Lagoon is in Disney Sea, to where there's a land of it that's indoors, and maybe have that open in the off season with a few slides just so they can keep revenues going. Or maybe they could just do what everybody else does. But I think it'd be really hard to make a fully themed indoor environment. But if they wanted to do that, then that again, they could make something equivalent to like a rainforest cafe, to where you really feel immersed into some sort of place.
If they did that, that would definitely help them on the money-making side of things. Because if everybody else is closed and they want to go to a water park, we'll be like, hey, pile up in the car, let's go to Fantasia, the water park. Because, I mean, indoors is a novelty over there.
It's true. And if you're thinking of water parks as also having to compete with the beach, which I do think to a certain extent they do, it would, again, rival it, because even though the beach doesn't close, on the other hand, you don't want to go to the beach when it's 50 degrees outside. But if you can go inside to a, you know, 80 degree environment with, you know, heated pools and heated slides, then you very well might do that. And if you're in the mood to feel warmer, it would be a place to go. So I would think that it, at least they would make a part of it indoors so they can run it in the off season. But if they could somehow manage to spend enough money to make an indoor park that looked good, because unfortunately most of them look kind of concrete and gross, like they really need to make it look good, then I would try to make as much of it indoors as possible. This concludes our Armchair Imagineering discussion for this week. Next week, we're going to be discussing an e-ticket attraction for Disney MGM Studios with Expedition Everest going into Animal Kingdom and Soarin' just going into Epcot, and with PhilharMagic and Wishes at the Magic Kingdom. Seems that MGM Studios should be the next place for a big attraction.
So if you have any ideas, you could call us at 1-866-327-5072, and if you're under 18 years of age, please ask your parents or guardians permission before calling. You could also email us at podcast@laughingplace.com, or you could post in the discussion boards where we will search and possibly pull up some of your comments for use on the show.
I'm Patrick Warburton, and this is laughingplace.com.
This week in Disney history, March 1st is the 5th anniversary of Kali River Rapids and the Maharaja Jungle Trek in Asia at Disney's Animal Kingdom. March 3rd is the 11th anniversary of the Indiana Jones Adventure at Disneyland.
The trivia question was, what is the name of Blizzard Beach's wave pool? The answer is Meltaway Bay.
Here I go! Cowabunga!
Today's top 10 list is about waterfalls within the Disney theme parks. Number 10, Tiger Falls at Kali River Rapids.
I felt really stupid when I went on this ride like for the fifth time and finally realized that the rocks looked like a tiger's head.
And I knew it the whole time. I pointed it out to you, actually. Number 9, the Pirates of the Caribbean waterfalls.
I don't know about you, but any waterfall that could take you forward and backwards in time and let you go up it, that's a pretty cool waterfall.
Number 8, the Rainforest Cafe waterfall at Disney's Animal Kingdom.
One of my favorite Disney memories of visiting a theme park was actually when we went to Animal Kingdom the first time. It was a very hazy day, and you really couldn't see a lot. It was, barely a few feet in front of you. So as we were walking towards Animal Kingdom, I saw the rock wall of rainforest, and slowly as you got close to it, you could begin to see that actually it was moving and it was a waterfall. It was actually a really cool visual. I wish I would have filmed it.
Number 7, the waterfalls at the Disneyland Hotel.
In front of the Bonita Tower. I just really like this spot. It's a very nice, cozy, romantic type spot, and it's just a little touch that I think gives the Disneyland Hotel a lot of charm.
It's a miniature Niagara Falls. They even have colored lights, and it's pretty.
However, they've yet to install the little remote control made of the mist boats with little people with ponchos on.
Number 6, the waterfalls at Expedition Everest.
The cool thing about the Expedition Everest waterfalls is just how big they are. They go up most of the mountain, and they stretch out, and they're just very cinematic and very impressive. They, kind of remind me of when I've seen pictures of, like, Angel Falls.
Number 5, the backwards waterfall from the Imagination Pavilion.
I always thought it was a very nice touch to put this in front of the Imagination Pavilion, and often I have to point out exactly what it is, because a lot of people just think it's a fountain. But then when they kind of understand that, oh, it's a backwards waterfall, then they think it's pretty cool.
Number 4, the final plunge of Splash Mountain.
One thing I've always respected about the Splash Mountain design is just how they managed to completely disguise the, well, not completely, how they managed to disguise the track within the mountain, basically making it a big waterfall. It was very clever. I mean, it was an obvious choice with the log flume, but with the way they did the bluffs and the big stump on top, it makes for a very imaginative and distinctive design. I've never seen anybody come up with anything quite like that.
Number 3, Grizzly Falls at Disney's California Adventure.
Very, very pretty spot. My favorite spot in Disney's California Adventure actually is on the side of Grizzly Peak, which is near the Golden Vine Winery. I can't say that 10 times fast. Right where they have they used to have the grapevines grow until they couldn't stop growing anymore. But there's a little spot there where you can, it's an overlook where they have fallen trees. It almost looks like beavers have been making a dam, and they have all these little waterfalls, and you can just see the side of the Bear's Head. And I just think it's a gorgeous spot and a very Disney-esque spot.
Number 2, Cascade Peak and Rainbow Caverns waterfalls from the Mine Train through Nature's Wonderland.
If you've never gone beneath a waterfall before, then get set, because we're coming up on Big Thunder, the biggest falls in all these here parts. You don't have to worry, though, unless the wind changes. Them other two falls they call the Twin Sisters. Reckon that's because they're always babbling.
I never actually had a chance to go on this attraction. I have seen video of it, though, and I really love the water in it. And I loved Cascade Peak. I'm very sad that it was taken away and now it's just a grassy hill. It's one of the more sad developments in the early 90s.
It's amazing how much water is held at that rock. I mean, it was falling for a very long time.
I remember the joke they used to tell on the keel boats. It was, my grandpappy said that 4,000 gallons a minute fall over those falls. But I don't know about you. I find that hard to swallow.
Right. And now, number 1... Schweitzer Falls from the Jungle Cruise, actually named after me, yours truly. It's the best-kept Disney secret.
The river looks a little dangerous here. We're beginning to move quickly. And this is what you call the rapids. There's Schweitzer Falls right ahead of us. Look out! Look out! I'm glad we got out of that.
I mean, who can come off that ride without doing the whole backside of water joke? That's got to be one of the more ingenious ideas. And I'd really actually be curious to know when that whole backside of water idea developed. It's a very clever joke that does manage to poke fun at the attraction while also having fun with the attraction at the same time. And to me, that's what the Jungle Cruise is about at this point.
Was it all fun and games when it first opened, or when did it become such a trend?
That's something I've never been sure about. I know I've seen video of Disneyland from 1956. They did a special, and it was very straight then, with a few jokes. It never was so serious. But then you have the Mark Davis show scenes that came in the 60s that really lightened it up. I mean, the Trap Safari is an obvious joke. It's realistic, but it's a joke. So the Jungle Cruise was never meant to be that serious. However, it obviously now, with the dated nature, has almost become a parody of itself. And I'm not exactly sure when it developed to the point where it is now. Now it's almost a little bit too far. It's almost become like a place for wannabe stand-up comedians as opposed to people really going with the theming of the Jungle Cruise. But on the other hand, it makes for a more interactive experience, which I think is good. Well, that wraps up another fun-filled episode of the Laughing Place podcast. Sorry we didn't provide one for you last week, but we were much too busy watching the Olympics and especially curling to put one up.
It's nice to see that they found use for all those Country Bear DVDs that were in the warehouse.
Anyway, we'd love to hear your comments about the show. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, whatnot, please email us at podcast@laughingplace.com. Post in the Laughing Place discussion forums in the podcast section. Or you can call us at 1-866-327-5072. Please make sure you have your parents' or guardians' permission before calling. And now, Jonathan, with the last word.
You could lead a horse to water, but he's really supposed to stop at the castle.
Goodbye.
See ya.